We're in Nesivos Shalom on Parshat Tazria, special shiur. It's so great to see so many of you who I've met from so many different places in my teaching career. It's great to see Queens, Tiferet, Lev, maybe some MMYs in there, some people who I've just met through WhatsApp. It's really great to see you all. And let's learn a little Nesivos Shalom together. So Nesivos Shalom on Parshat Tazria. We're on Daf Nun Bet in Vayikra, Inyan Hadegaim. Says Nesivos Shalom. Biparshiot elu tazria umetzora haricha haTorah beinyan Torah tamitzora vikorbanotav. In these parshas of Tazria and Mitzora, the Torah goes on at length on the procedure of the mitzora and the korbanot that the person who has tzaraat has to bring. V'nei Torah kadosha hi nitzchit. And as the Nesivos Shalom so often opens up, he says the Torah is eternal. The Torah has to be always speaking to all generations, and therefore v'af bizman hazeh she'ein lanu kohen v'lo korbanot. Where bizman hazeh we don't have a kohen and we don't have korbanos. This is coming to teach us the Torah of life, which applies to all generations at all times. Umikol inyan Torah tamitzora shematzinu b'Torah oleki tzaraat imachalah gura biyoter. And we see about the mitzora that we find in the Torah that the content of the mitzora is one of the worst things that there is, to get this sickness of the mitzora. Ukilshon deita b'sefer Yetzirah, as the most ancient sefer of Kabbalah, Sefer Yetzirah, says, ein bara lamata minega. There's nothing worse than nega tzaraat. There's nothing worse than getting tzaraat. Uvechazal as Chazal say in Erechin al Zayin Chataim ba'im hanegayim, that there are seven reasons why tzaraat comes about. Most of us are probably most familiar with the fact that it comes about through lashon hara, but it in fact comes about through seven things, as the Gemara says. It quotes a few here: gasut haruach, from ego, can bring about tzaraat; shvichut damim, murder; giloy arayot, immorality; lashon hara, again the most famous one, lashon hara. And again, there are seven things which bring about tzaraat, lashon hara being simply the most famous. What this means is that these negaim, this affliction, isn't something that's simply physical. What does it mean that there's a tumah that comes as a sickness on the skin of a person? All of the kapara that comes about through this. What is this about? What is this trying to tell us? What is this concept of having this physical affliction for spiritual infractions? What's going on? What do we understand from this? And how does it relate to all generations when we no longer have a kohen or korbanot? So he says, V'ni'unklus targem negatzarat. Unklus, at the beginning of the parsha, he translates negatzarat as machtash sigiru, as an affliction of being closed off. That's how Targum Unklus translates the words negatzarat, is machtash sigiru, as somehow an affliction of being closed off. Hainu shi machalat shel skirut. It's a machalat, it's a sickness of being closed off. Uvizor HaKadosh, the Zohar says, Ita, negatzarat, what does it say about the term negatzarat? Negahu dina takifa sharia ba'alma. It's this very terrible sickness, this very terrible judgment that comes to the world, that exists in the world. Tzarat sigiru kama de'itmar sigiru nahora ilah, that it closes things off, it closes off the light from up above. Skiru tivu de'ilah, closes off the goodness from shining down from up above. That all of the light gets closed off from above. When one does something that brings about tzaraat, that's closing off the access to the light and to the goodness from up on high. It's closing off all of the good that comes from up on high. And therefore one needs to bring themselves to the kohen. Duhu that somehow by bringing oneself to the Kohen is able to reopen those gates and to relight that light in order to receive that light again from up on high. Therefore one can receive all of the brachas from up above and on below. And then the nega goes away, the tzarat goes away. And that's what it means, uvah kohen, right? So somehow the tzarat is closing off all of the light, all of the bracha, all of the shefa from up on high, and then going to the kohen, then bringing about somehow, going through the process of bringing about a kapara for that tzarat, one is then able to reopen. The kohen is then able to reopen those gates on high and relight that light and bring it back down, all the brachot of above and down below, onto the person. So what does all that mean? We're on the third paragraph, we're on the bottom paragraph, the third paragraph on the right column. V'ish lefaresh mashma'ut machtash segiru. So we have to understand this concept of machtash segiru, that the Targum Unkelus said that that's what a negatzarat is. It's this affliction of being closed off. Shua davar ha'garua biyoter shematzinu batzarat. It's the worst thing that we find in the Torah. How so? Al pi be'ora psukim shel Torah ha'metzorah, as it says in the psukim, Adam ki ye be'or besaro se'eto sapachat u'baheret v'uva la'aron ha'kohen o alachad mi'banav ha'kohanim. That when a person has any type of tzaraat, a person has to bring it to Aaron ha'kohen or to one of the Kohanim. V'ra'a kohen et ha'nega be'or ha'basar. The Kohen then sees this affliction on the flesh. U'mar'e ha'nega mok mi'or ha'basar. Nega tzaraatu. If he sees that it's deeply within the skin, then it's a nega tzaraat. So the Kohen inspects it, and he sees, if he sees that it's deeply in the skin, then it's a nega tzaraat. Vita b'svar ha'makedoshim. The svar ha'makedoshim say, she'akohen omer, ki mar'e ha'nega einu rak davar chitzoni. Be'or ha'bilvad. That it's not just, this nega is not just this external thing on the flesh only. Elohu amok min ha'or, meaning not just that it's deep in the skin, that's the simple pshat, not just that it's deep in the skin, but more than that, meaning it's more than skin deep. That's how they're understanding, very beautifully understanding the pasuk. It's not just that it's deeply in the skin, but that it's more than skin deep. Sheloke b'machala pnimit amukayutir, that the person is afflicted deeper than that. It shows that there's something going on internally within the person. Shakohen hu shiachol lehavchin velikboa im zoi rak machalagu fanit pshuta kefi shelach oran yir eta tzarat machalat or regila o shemareh hanega amok min haor sheish ba machala zo yeter amkut. So Rabbi Levi is saying that a person needs to go to the Kohen, meaning a question a person can and should ask. Let's say a person does find that they have tzarat. So if a person sees that they have some sort of skin disease, some sort of skin condition, then they should go see a dermatologist. They should go to a doctor. Why is it that a person has to go to a Kohen? So the implication here is that it's because a doctor can't diagnose tzaraat. A doctor can't diagnose this type of skin condition, because a normal skin condition is a physical condition. But even though this condition, tzaraat, manifests physically, its emesis, the omic of it is, the depth of it is that it's a reflection of a spiritual disease. And so a person needs to go to a spiritual doctor in order to be diagnosed. A person dafka needs to go to a Kohen. My Rebbe points out that we see this very beautifully in Sefer Bamidbar. In the end of Parshat Bahalotcha, very famously when Miriam gets tzaraat, that if one examines the psukim there very carefully, or even just reading the pshat in a more careful way, one sees that she gets tzaraat, and then it says, she turned, and Aharon saw her, and then once Aharon saw her, it was tzaraat. Why? Because only the Kohen seeing the tzaraat makes it tzaraat. It's the reality of the Kohen seeing it. So, when the Kohen needed to come and see it, that when a person would get tzaraat in their house, for example, they would take everything out of the house first before the Kohen would come, because once the Kohen would see it, then it became tzaraat. It needs to be diagnosed by the Kohen. It needs to be determined by the Kohen, because it's a spiritual disease. So what he's saying here is exactly that. That it's only the Kohen who's able to go and to establish if it's just a simple physical affliction, or whether it's something deeper than that, whether it's a spiritual affliction of tzaraat. Sheyish ba machalazo yoter amukot, that there's a much deeper machala coming. We're on the top of the second column. Sheyish ba machalazo yoter amkut. She machtash skiru kefi atargum. Shez dono bichuro tamun. Shaz yishalav dine tuma. Because he's dealing with the reality, he's defining whether or not there's a reality of tuma within the person. What this is, this concept, this reality of tzaraat, is an internal thing. It's a spiritual affliction that's reflecting physically, but it's in its essence is a spiritual affliction, and therefore the Kohen determines it and can see if there's a spiritual problem or not going on in the person that's being reflected in this tzaraat. Third line in on the top of the second column. V'hu al derech mashal kibo b'machlot hagashmiut, and this is so true in physical afflictions as well. Shakashir yish la'adam petza, when that a person gets a scrape, a cut, a wound on the outside. Pamim mavchina rofe she'ein ze'ela petzach itzoni, that a person goes to the doctor and says, no, it's a surface cut. You just need to wipe it out, put some antibiotic on it, you'll be fine. V'notein lo mashcha trufa l'refuato, he gives him some sort of cream to put on the wound. V'dai bazeh, and that's enough. But there are times, Olino, when a person gets a sickness, where there, yes, there's a physical reflection of it on the outside of the body. But when a doctor goes and sees that, he understands that something's going on internally in the person. That there's something wrong in the person's blood, that there's something a person's wrong in their internal systems, and that it's not just a scrape, it's not just a cut, that there's an infection going on, or that there's something deeper going on, that it's a reflection of some internal machla, some internal problem, some internal sickness that's reflecting itself physically on the skin. That's it's not going to cut it to just simply put a topical cream on. That's not going to do it. So too in spirituality. There are times, lo alinu, when a person sins. But it's a type of sin that happened that was by happenstance. A person made a mistake. Where a person sinned, they made a mistake and they sinned. That's an external chait. When a person goes and they're living their life and they're trying to be an Oved Hashem and they're trying to do everything right, and lo alinu, a person makes a mistake. It happens. A person makes a mistake. So that's an external sin. Is it a sin? Yes. Does it require tshuva? Yes. But it's external. It's not part of the essence of that person is. But there are other sins that a person does. When I do a sin that comes from a deeper place, that comes from a more internal place, where it's not just that it was by happenstance, where mamish, and this all happens to all of us, each one of us knows our own things, and each one of us in our own way, where it's not just that something happened, where I thought something, and it planted the idea of a sin in my head, and I didn't want to do it. But then it's the way that the Lashon of Chazal put it, that my blood starts to boil, my blood gets all riled up, and I start to think about it, and I want to do it, and I think about how to do it, and my Yitzer Tov tells me not to do it, and I try not to do it, but I go and I do it anyway. It's not just because it happened to be there. It didn't happen by accident. It wasn't, I didn't want to do it. But at the end of the day, it came from a deeper place inside of me. I fought it, I went back and forth, and I still went for it, I still made it happen. When we're talking about Lashon Hara, a person, not just Lashon Hara that a person happened to walk by, but a person knows they're so upset at this other person. And all they want to do is they want to tell the world how this person wronged them. And you know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. But I can't stop myself. And I fight back and forth and don't want to do it. And then I have to tell my friend. I have to do it. It comes from this boiling up of this needing to come at me that comes from a deeper place. It comes from a deeper place. Giloy Areya, the person knows that it's wrong. A person knows they're going to a situation where there's going to be guys and girls there and it's going to lead to Isser. And they know they shouldn't go. They know that it's gone badly before. They know it could go badly again. But a person goes, they fight themselves not to go, but they decide to go. That's coming from a deeper place. Shvichu damim lo alinu, when a person, murder lo alinu, gezel, a person knows they shouldn't take something, but they convince themselves it's okay, and they go and they take the thing anyway. Title shalidei yisurim elu nitkalkel kol damo machmat rtichat adam l'isur. This is coming from the whole boiling of the blood to go and this heated passion to go and do the isur itself. Sha'ash sholeit alav legamre shalton hara, when the ra overtakes the person and brings them to do the sin. And then a person gives themselves over to the other side, gives themselves over to the negative force in this world, and that brings about the chait. That's coming from a deeper place. That's not a surface wound. That's coming from a spiritual sickness, a spiritual disease that, again, each one in our own way, we all suffer from. Each one in our own way. But we have to recognize that wherever we are in our avodas Hashem, that that's the thing that we still go for, that that's the thing that we're still struggling against. That that's a machla, that's a spiritual sickness. And that's something that we need to treat, that's something we want to remove. And that's what the Torah of the Mitzvah is coming to teach us, is to identify it, to understand it, and how to remove it. So let's go forward and see what he says. And nothing on the chat yet. Okay, good. Everybody's either totally following or totally not. One of the two. We're good. Okay, let's keep going. Shalom Isaac, great to see you, Yitz. Great to see you. Tov. Mitotzaot ha-machala hazot shel nega tzarat heim machtash segiru. And what comes out of this machala, what comes out of this sickness of nega tzarat is this affliction of being closed off. Hainu machala shel skirut, an affliction of being closed off. Kedita b'zohar ha-kadosh shakol sagor b'fanav. The Zohar ha-kadosh said that everything is closed off to the person. Kol sharei ora v'tova, all gates of light, all gates of good, everything becomes closed off to that person. Bivchinat tfilat David HaMelech alav shalom, as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hotziah mi miskar nafshi, take my soul from being bound up, from being closed up. Sheyesha hanefesh shgura b'miskar. That there's a reality where I feel my whole soul is being bound up. My soul is being constricted. My soul is being put away. Umikafra gul v'arosho usagur musugar. Where I feel like I'm mamish closed off. Mulcho sagur, my mind is closed off. Libo sagur, my lave, my whole heart is closed off. Urigishotav atumim, and I feel like I'm emotionally shut down. Moach Yehudi v'lev Yehudi u'regashot Yehudiim shrichim lahargish l'torer b'chol davar shvikedusha. So beautiful what he's saying. That all times, the mind of a Jew, and the lave of a Jew, the heart of a Jew, and the emotions of a Jew, we need to be feeling, we need to be alive in everything that we do. When we go to do a mitzvah, when we go to do something in Ruchnius, when we go to learn Torah, when we go to do a chesed, when we go to sing a niggun, when we go to do something in Ruchnius, we're expected to be alive, mamish. There's an expectation on Torah that we're digging deep down and bringing ourselves alive. When we daven, the term, the negative term lip service comes from tefillah. That we're saying we don't just want lip service. The Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just want our lips to serve it. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? Rachmana liba ba'i. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our hearts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our souls. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our whole being. When the Gemara says, when it says we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does it mean serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your heart? The Gemara in Tanis, in the beginning of Tanis says, Eizui avoda shebalev havi omer zol tefillah. What is the service of the heart? That's tefillah. But to recognize it's an avoda, there is no expectation. Many people misunderstand this. I find that when I talk to people, they talk to me about tefillah, that there's a misunderstanding about, fundamental misunderstanding about this. And they come to me and say, I've been davening, and I don't feel it. As though there were, like, Kilu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not talking back to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not relating to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's always talking to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's always relating to us. It's an avoda. Tefillah isn't supposed to be this free ride to experience spirituality. It's meant to be an avoda. It's the definition of tefillah. Eizu yet avoda shebalev. What does it mean to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To work to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my heart. That's tefillah. That's mamish tefillah. And if I'm not feeling it, not to come down on myself, but to recognize what that means is that I need to find to work in a new way, to find a new strategy, to work a little harder, to really dig it out, to pry open my heart. That a Jew is expected to open up their mind, to open up their heart, in all areas. Again, that was tefillah as an example. In tefillah, in Torah learning, in chesed, in ruchnius, in nigunim, in singing, whatever a person's doing in ruchnius. A person needs to be opening themselves up on all levels. And when we get to the holy times, like Shabbos and Yom Tov, the goal is to really open ourselves up and to feel that day, to open ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person has tzara'at lo aleinu, when a person has, whether or not we, nowadays we don't see the tzara'at, nowadays we're not on a spiritually high enough level to be zochet to get tzara'at, to know we did something wrong. Meaning we're so low that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows tzara'at wouldn't do anything for us. That's why we don't have it. Halavai, we have tzara'at soon, to be able to know when we do something wrong, and to know that we can overcome it and to open up those channels. But when a person is closed off, that's the reality of tzaras that we experience. When a person feels closed off from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Uvechol hazmanim hatovim v'kdoshim ha'osim l'romeim nafshol shiyudi hu einu margish me'umad. When a person comes to do Torah, to do mitzvot, comes to Shabbos, comes to Yom Tov, and they don't feel anything, they're closed off. That a person, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, feels closed off. It's the worst thing that there is. When it talks about an ani here, a poor person, it means a person who's poor in their minds. And the whole purpose of having a mind, of having a moach, of having spiritual faculties, of transcendental faculties, is to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A person who's poor in their mind doesn't feel a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That all of the taste, all of the geshmak, all of the goodness that comes from the Shabbos, from Yom Tov, from all of these moments, all of these experiences, all of these things we feel closed off from. Upakashot filato hiotzim miskar nafshi, and that's what David HaMelech turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Imamish cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please take my soul out from being confined. V'ita b'sfar makadoshim shanei gaim nova'im b'pikamei bris kodesh achmano letzlan. V'ano ki aldea pikamim elu nirtach hadam l'isur. V'onesh alzeh hu machtash segor shniya legamri segor misugar. And it's brought down to the svarim that one of the things that most closes a person off in these ways is when a person veers off in isurim ben ish l'isha. Is when a person veers off in areas between men and women. Why? What does it mean? Because what's happening? Meaning, my whole being is supposed to be connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. My whole being is supposed to be alive for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. My mind, my heart, my soul, my body is supposed to be alive for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When I take myself, and I take myself, and I take my mind, and my heart, and my feelings, and my physical being, and my sense of touch, and I go and I engage with the opposite gender in a way that's prohibited by the Torah, then what I'm doing is I'm saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is all supposed to be to you, but I'm cutting off from you. He's not cutting off from me. I'm cutting off from you, and I'm choosing to direct those relationship energies somewhere else. And because of that, I'm cutting off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why when a person fails in those levels, and we all fail in one way or another in these levels, there's so many different, and Kedusha is endless, and Kedusha is all about these inyanim. But certainly on the ones that we're aware of, and certainly on the most simple meaning of the concept of Gilui Arayot, from Gilui Arayot itself to Shomer Negiya, to, again, even more subtle levels than things that he's talking about here on the page, that a person needs to recognize when a person goes and channels that relationship energy somewhere else, that what we're doing is, what I'm doing is I'm taking away from that relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I'm feeling closed off, not because the Kadosh Baruch Hu has left me, but because I've turned away from him to go and face somebody else. And be'emes, what I've really turned and done is turned away from in order to face myself. To face my own desires, my own wants, my relationship with my own sense of instant gratification, and turned away from him. And that closes me off from him. That's what he's saying here. Yesh Eitzel Yehudi, top of the next page, page Nun Gimel. Yesh Eitzel Yehudi shemurgal bitfila. There's people who are just so used to going and davening and pouring their hearts out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And suddenly they're closed off and they don't feel anything. It's because a person did one of these things and has gone to the Sitra Achra. And therefore they've been cut off. So to recognize here, it's very, very deep what he's saying. That a person here, that our whole beings are meant to be focused towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our minds are meant to be focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid. To envision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of me always. My heart and my soul and my feelings should be geared toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way the Rambam says in Hilchos Shuva, that Ahavas Hashem means that a person is to be lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like when they were younger, a person had, you know, a crush on somebody, and you spent your morning until night, all you could do was obsess about that person. For the married people who were here, when you met your husband or you met your wife, and when you knew it was the one when you were dating them, it didn't matter what was going on. You could only think about that other person all day. Your friends knew that because they stopped hearing from you. You disappeared for 6 months to a year. Nobody knew where you went. You didn't know where you were either. You were in this zone, this sort of magical zone of just focused on the other person. That's a real love sickness. That's real. That a person's whole mind, their whole emotional world is focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their whole physical world is focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where a person should be. And what happens is that when a person does certain type of chataim, when it does certain types of sins that come from a deep place within us, those sins bring us to a place that brings about a reality of tzaraat, which is mamash nogeya bizman hazeh. It absolutely is relevant bizman hazeh. That it brings a person to a place where I don't feel connected anymore to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It cuts me off. It cuts off the light. It cuts off the tov from up above. And I feel disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to recognize when that happens, that I need to go through a purification process. I need to remove that spiritual tzaraas. Yeah, it's not on my skin. But it's there. The tzaraat is there. The reality of tzaraat is there. And I need to reestablish that connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu to purify myself and reestablish that singular focus on the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to root out that Ra from within me, that desire towards Ra, that boiling of the blood towards Ra, to root out that Ra from within me and refocus and rededicate myself kula la Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal. And it's also one more thing that I was thinking about as we were going on, and we'll go to the next paragraph. If anybody has any questions, please throw them up in the chat, as I said before. Is to think about the fact that this whole piece that we've been talking about is a piece about feeling about being totally cut off and totally Machtash Sgiru means an affliction of being bound up. Dafka bizman hazeh, as all of us are bound up, as all of us think, and we talked about this before, those of you with Tivot Shalom over the last month, we've talked about this, that right now in this moment in history, where we talk about isolation, and we talk about quarantine, and we talk about we can't go outside, and we talk about being totally cut off. We talk about this feeling like we're totally cut off. And the answer is we're not. We're not. We're cut off in certain ways. But in all of the ways that matter, in all of the ways that count, be'emes, we're still connected. My mind is what Pesach is all about. My mind is free. My heart is free. My emotions are free. The freedom that we have to connect with the infinite transcends any limitations that we could possibly have by being confined to our homes. When we still hear about people who, lo aleinu, are going out in such dangerous ways, going out to minyanim, or going out to social gatherings, or going out and they think that they're immune to this thing, they're not. And a person needs to go out, why? I need to go out socially, I need to go out, connect to people, to feel connected. I need to go out, why? To connect to a Kaddosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, daven into me. And the answer is, if, sorry to say this like this, but it's true, and also, I mean, I think it's okay to say this strongly, it's mamish what people are doing in this way. It's pikuach nefesh to stop this. To recognize, if I think that I need to go and endanger my life and the lives of others to be in a minyan to connect to God, you've totally dismissed the fact of what connecting to God actually means. If you think God, who put you in that room, or put you in that apartment, who put you in that house, he's there with you. That's where he wants you to be. You're running away from him to go somewhere else. You're enslaved to your limited perception. But a person who dafka stays, and stays in their home and does FaceTime, and does Zoom, and davens, and learns, and sings, a person who does these things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sitting next to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in this room. And when I say this room, the room I'm pointing to, which wherever you are, that's where you are, that's where he is. He's by Izzy, he's by Tzippi, he's by Moshe Yankiv, he's by Jacob, he's by Yitz, he's by Noah, he's by Philip, he's by Mordechai V'chule, he's by all of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right there in that room. And to think that, I'm not saying to dismiss the difficulties of that isolation. I know all so many of us miss being around other people. I'm not to minimize that, and there's a deep piece to speak about that as well. But from the perspective that we're taking right now in this piece, to recognize that what he's saying here is, and it's so relevant to us and so relevant now for all time, is that the true freedom to connect comes from our mind being open to the infinite to God, comes from our heart being open to the infinite to God, comes from our emotions being open to the infinite to God and connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when I daven in this room that you're seeing here right now, when I daven Shacharis in this room, Kadosh Baruch Hu is right here. When I learn Daf Yomi at this desk that I'm pointing to right here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right here. When I learn with you right here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right here. And perhaps again, maybe one of the beautiful things to come out of this, in every, you know, it used to be we'd all have to come together. Not that all, it's amazing the group that came together here. I don't know if any of us had ever gotten in the same room together otherwise. But let's say we did, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be in that room because we're doing it like this. Look at what we're doing. We're bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into every single one of these rooms, into every single one of your minds, every single one of your hearts, our hearts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sharoi in the world right now in a way that he couldn't have been otherwise. He could do anything, but that we couldn't have done otherwise. That's freedom. That's the freedom to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what our goal of what we're meant to be doing is. And when a person feels cut off from that, it's not because we can't go to Minyan. It's not because we can't go to Shul. It's not because we can't go to the Beis Medrash. It's not because we can't hang out with our friends in Dibuk Chaverim. It's not because of that. It's because we need to dig deep inside and do real avoda. Not external avoda of, oh, if I go somewhere else, I'll feel better. Again, and there's value to that, and that's a discussion for another time. But for our purposes, that's not what it's about. It's about opening myself up. It's about digging deep and finding where the problem is, where the blockage in the system is, where the tum'ah is. That's what tum'ah means. Whereas in Tiferet, we're going to learn in Seder Vav, which we're going to pick up on Thursday. That when we're going to talk about what tum'ah is all about, just talking in these parsha, we talk about it. That when you have Tzara, tum'ah means to feel cut off. It means to be, there's a blockage in the system. And we need to be mitaher that tum'ah, to open up that blockage and to reconnect on all levels, on the levels of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Did somebody write here? What are people going out for chesed and to help other people? If people are doing it in a way that follows the health guidelines, that's the biggest chesed there is. When my stepmother went to help my grandmother who's not leaving her apartment and get a new fridge, which of course broke down like the day before, second day Yontif, there were so many levels of chesed to that. That's a tremendous chesed. When she did from there, my family's been going. She has a mirpeset. I've been in Israel too long. There's no too long. I'm losing my English. She has a balcony. She has a balcony. So there are people who walk by and they're throwing up bags of food to her and like gifts to her and things like that. They're literally throwing it up onto the second store balcony. But that's a beautiful thing. It just has to be done in a way that's safe and that's appropriate and that follows health guidelines. Of course, that's beautiful. But I'm not saying not to go out of the house in ways that are allowed. But to make sure to do it in ways that are allowed and to do chesed in that way. Of course, it's tremendous chesed. And I didn't mean to minimize that. And keep it up, Noah. Keep it up. I know you're a big Baal Chesed. And there's a lot to do in Albany. So don't stop now. Okay. Tov. Nud Gimel. Oh, we got one more. Yeah. It says... Rav Shimshon, I'm never here. Welcome. Great to see you, Rav Shimshon. Should we not go up... right now, I'm not even reading the question out loud. The answer is that we should wait for guidance from Rabbanim about when it's appropriate to, in my opinion, when it's appropriate to go. To go out bechlal, to be around other people, but certainly not to be going right now. From the perspective of where we are now, do you think we are lacking anything in our Avodas Hashem without shul? I think that there's definitely, in my humble opinion, I think there's definitely a lacking, meaning there's a koach to a minyan, and a beauty to a minyan. Whether a person, whether you're a man and you're part of that minyan, whether you're a woman and be joining into that minyan, for both, there's a koach to that minyan. There's a mitzvah for both men and women to be in a minyan. So there's a tremendous koach to that, and not to devalue that. But if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us to be home now, it means that the avoda of right now is home. That's to me, it's pasha. To me, there's no other way to look at it. There's very beautifully, my Rebbe Rav Amos from Netiv Aryeh, so he started a series on his WhatsApp chat, called Havi'en Yamelech Chadarav, a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, which means that the king brought me into his inner chambers, where he's talking about the opportunity of the avoda right now, of being inside, of being internal. He very beautifully said, we had this in Daf Yomi a week or two ago, whatever it was, time, there's no sense of time right now. It could have been a week or a month ago, it's totally unclear. But Daf Yomi, like 10 pages ago, I think, 10 Dafim ago, on Daf Lamed Gimel, it's easy to remember, it's Daf Lamed Gimel, it's about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who's comes out when he dies on Lag BaOmer, and his yurtzeit is on Lag BaOmer, so the Daf that talks about his life is on page Lamed Gimel of Masechet Shabbos, so Rav Amos said so beautifully, he said, you have to recognize that when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai runs away from the Romans, you could see it as running away. If you see Rav Shimon as just running away for 13 years, you haven't begun to chop Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon and his son went away for 13 years, but they're not on the run for 13 years. They find a cave, they sit in the cave, and they plant themselves there. And there, according to most opinions, that's where they compiled the Zohar. The Zohar came from that. Had they not been in that cave for 13 years, they wouldn't have gotten the Zohar. We just read that this whole piece is based on the Zohar. We wouldn't be sitting here learning this piece right now had he not been in that cave by himself, isolated. I can't believe that Rav Shimon and Rav Elazar sat there, and his son sat there for 13 years, and cried that they didn't go to Minyan. I don't think that they would have run back and endangered their lives to daven in a Minyan, lest they were going to be executed by the Roman government. Instead, they said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sending me here. Which means I need to live this up to its fullest. And they certainly taught us how to do that. That's how Rav Shimon became Rav Shimon. He came out transformed. Whatever the avoda is, and again, I'm speaking more confidently because I'm speaking from Rabbi Ravamos here, basically. I'm paraphrasing what he's talking about. But that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu created this craziness, we started this coming off the heels of Purim. And it's nice to talk with you all about Purim again. Those of you, it's been a while since we've gotten to talk about Purim together. To Rebbe came out of the side of Purim. This is obscene. This is crazy. The whole world just stopped functioning in a snap. The whole world just stopped. Nobody was prepared for this. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody understood what it meant. What was going to be when this came about. Excuse me one second. My computer just informed me that it's about to shut down. Hold on one second. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Good. It's like when somebody used to knock on the door when we were learning in Queens College together to tell us to get out of the room soon, right? So if a Kadosh Baruch Hu put us here, then him putting us here, it means that this is where the avoda is meant to be. This is what we're supposed to be doing, and to not just, and okay, we're talking about Purim. That's what we're talking about. I got to forget about Purim. We're talking about Purim. That this whole thing is crazy. Nobody was prepared for this. Nobody saw this coming, and the fact that this is the case, that the whole world is stuck inside their homes, in a flash, the whole world. It's insane. It's mamish a Purim story. Like, well, what is that about? What does that mean? What's going on? You know, and again, I'm not to undermine the frightening and terrible and horrifying realities of all the lives that were lost. But for those of us who are sitting here well, at our computer screens, learning Torah together, one of the messages for us, based on my Rebbe, again, I'm saying more commonly because our Rebbe said it, but it's so clear to me that it needs to be, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, this is all based on your question, Yitz, that what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us is that the Avoda right now is here. The Avoda right now is in this room, wherever your room may be. How am I makdish this room? How do I work on my limud atzmi? My sitting down and learning by myself, and davening biyachidus and slowing down my tefillah, not obsessing over when they're going to get to Baruch Hu, when they're going to get to Kaddish, when they're going to get to Kedusha, and not showing up 10 minutes late to shul because you can't be 10 minutes, I know we all wish that we could be, but you can't be 10 minutes late to your own minion. You can't skip Hev Pesukei Zimra because you showed up late. You're not late. You're stuck. There's no way out. It's got a sparkle saying, you have to talk to me. But it's beautiful what he's saying. We're thinking about this time as being cut off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's saying, no, you have to talk to me because there's nowhere else to go. You have to learn with me. There's no one else to learn with. To think about it in a different way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's giving us opportunity. If HaKriyah Moreret HaZman VaZman Moreret HaKriyah, if we're reading Tazria Mitzorah when this is going on, it's because these parashiyot are relevant to this. It's saying if we should be all in our homes, checking ourselves, with none of the outside noise, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's been screaming to us, the Nevi'im have been screaming to us, it's the times of the Nevi'im, to do hit bonenut, silent contemplation. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not going to do it on your own, so I'll confine you to your house. Now you're going to have to contemplate. Sit there and contemplate a little bit. And contemplate and think about, look internally, are there places that I'm cut off from God? And I can't give up, there's no more excuse of, okay, I feel cut off, but at least I daven with a minion. Okay, I feel cut off, but I learned in the base medrash. Oh, I feel cut off, but I went to shul. Oh, I feel cut off, but I went to a Rosh Chodesh shir. No, you're stuck right here. I have to check myself. Are there parts of me that are blocked? Parts of me that are so sensitive, and that are so drowned out by the noise of life in my normal life, that I wasn't able to hear with a sensitive ear, that part was closed off. I wasn't able to see with a sensitive eye that part was closed off. Now that it's me, myself, and I, and no one else, I have, the avoda is to look inside and find those blockages, to find that tzarat, to find that retichat adam, to find that chet, to find that desire in myself for ra, and to uproot that ra in the finest levels of myself. To purify myself on all levels of Zerat, I have that capacity right now. I have the Chiyuv on me right now. That to me is an aspect of the Chiyuv of the Zman, for sure. For sure. A couple things went up on the chat. Noah says in Shari Halacha, it says that you're supposed to imagine yourself davening in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And if you're davening in your house, then essentially that means you're living in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful idea, Noah. Yeah. That and we talked about that when we were learning the Sivo Shalom together at the end of at Sefer Shmot, and the Mishkan finally goes up at the end of Sefer Shmot. That yes, it happened during the Parshiot of the Mishkan. All of us are chayav to reimagine our homes as a mikdash, and that means yes, when you're davening, that is your Beit Hamikdash, that is your Kodesh HaKodashim. To imagine that and to work on that, I'm not going to spend time talking about that now. We talked about that in many other previous shiurim that are also up online. But yes, absolutely, 100%. Noah, to keep on reflecting on how is this really? How am I living in a reality of Mikdash, and how is this my Kodesh HaKodashim? Beautiful, beautiful. I don't know if it's really you or Shimshon. I don't know why you'd be sitting in my shir. I maybe it's somebody else with your name. I don't know. I don't mean to compare It's. I'm glad you joined. I don't mean to compare the two. I don't know. You tell me. I don't know why you're answering your questions. You could teach me everything. I don't mean to compare the two, but I have a challenge with just accepting the status quo because that's where we are. We are about to enter Yom HaShoah, and we're going to listen to stories of people who specifically risked their lives to do the mitzvah, to engage, even though it was beyond what made sense, given where Hashem put them, that they risked their lives for, that they risked their lives even though that's not what the situation called for. Can you either unmute yourself or type it out? I didn't totally follow the question. And I would love to respond to the question.
So, based on what the Nes Nivot Shalom just said, it sounds like, or how we're reading the Nes Shalom, because we're where we are, because Hashem put us in the house, because, you know, that calls for us not to step out of the house, that calls for us not to put our lives at risk, what have you. And I'm not disagreeing with that on a practical level. I'm totally on top. I'm bored with that. But we're about to go into Yom HaShoah, and I'm struggling with the fact that Yom HaShoah so often is about the people who stepped beyond what reality would have suggested they do, who put forth an effort to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu they wanted more than what, you know, was presented to them, to say, listen, I'm willing to put my life on the line in order to do this because that's how much I care about it. And again, I'm not necessarily advocating for people, you know, to go out to Mignon and what have you. I'm struggling with that challenge on a personal level of is it okay that I'm just sitting around, you know, doing my thing in my house? I feel kind of like I'm not showing Kadosh Baruch Hu that I want to be back out of my house. Like, if I'm standing here singing challah to myself over the chag, like, is that me telling Kadosh Baruch Hu, no, it's okay, leave me here, it's fine, it's not a problem. Like, I don't want to be back with a minion. That's where I'm struggling, I guess. I don't know.
I hear. Again, I don't know if I can teach you anything, but I can, I can at least talk to you like a friend. In my humble opinion, I would say that you know, I think that just because an avoda is the opposite doesn't make it just as challenging and doesn't make it just as important. Meaning, what was going on in the Shoah was yes, to go beyond and even risk their lives for, .. 100%. I think that in the Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly challenges each generation with its challenge, with a new challenge, and with a challenge that was never, which was never seen before. I think Dafkar challenge is to be told, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you need to stay in your home. And even though you want to go back out, or maybe more comfortable than that, and again, I'm not speaking totally genuinely either. I'm an introvert by nature. For me, this is like, I have to stay home, I can't be around people, this is amazing. And I still get to learn with everybody from my room. This is like, it is an introvert's dream, you know, to be stuck here. I'm learning by my, it's mutter for me to sit here and learn by myself. I don't have to start putting earplugs into the base mesh with 100 people in it. Meaning like, so, for me, like, I'm certain things in a weird way, I've been talking about a lot with my wife, like it's in a weird way, like, I don't feel the struggle that some other people are feeling in the same way. You see, Rav Shimshon even needs to put Leva Torah Mamish in the background. He needs to feel like he's singing the Beis Medrash. So people have different inclinations, but I'm saying for a person who feels the need to go out, who feels the need for the minyan, who feels, and again, I'm somebody who went 3 times a day, every day, Yahari Valyavor for me, before this happened. I don't miss minyan. But for me, when it becomes clear that you're meant to stay inside, I think that the avoda is here is that so many of us want to go out. And at this point, everybody wants to go out in some way, shape, or form. Even I want to go out in some way, shape, or form. In my own weird personal ways. Fine. But we all want to go out in some way, shape, or form. But whether it's to go to Minyan, to go to the Beis Medrash, to go to a friend's house, to go back to Shul Kiddushes, to go back to Shirim with people around, to go back to a supermarket where you don't have to stand in line, and people aren't wearing masks. Meaning like, you know, like just to go and be around, whatever the things that you want to go out. No, what Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, the avoda is be inside. Lefianu Tati again, Dibo Kabirim here between me and Rav Shimshon. I don't have anything to say to him, but in terms of what I think is that Dafka, our generation, is a generation that is so connected and so externalized and so distant from who we are in a way that no previous generation ever was. We're a generation. I remember when I was in yeshiva, the Rebbeim lamenting over the fact. Halavai, this is what we're doing. Lamenting that people had iPods, and when they sat on the bus, would listen to music and weren't required to sit and think when they were on the bus, but can now just shove things into their ears and listen to music instead of thinking. Halavai, that's what was going on, Bizman Hazeh, and we weren't just on our phones looking at stupidity and watching YouTube videos. Meaning, like it's we've gotten to a place where the world and the people around us and the accessibility to people and the accessibility to data and information has mamish taken us to a place where so many of us, and I'm sure in your work you've experienced with your Talmidim also, none of us know who we are anymore. And I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the most frightening test that this generation could possibly have, which is telling us, no, you have to stay home, you have to be by yourself, and you have to figure out who you are. And again, and none of this left this piece. This isn't just a tangent on Corona. This is what this piece is talking about, but applied to Bizman Hazeh. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, in my humble opinion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, no, you have to stay home, and you have to look and see who you are, the Eved Hashem that you really are or are not. And is that who you want to be? And who do you really want to be? When you're by yourself, finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, I'm going to make you be by yourself. You have to be by yourself. You know, it comes back to Pesukim that we talk about so many times in so many of our shiurim. It says in Parshat Ve'etchanan, it talks about the end of days, which again, however you feel about our relationship to the end of days, we're somewhere on that spectrum towards the end of days, even just because we're close to 6,000 or because clearly around us we're in the process. How far along depends on your Ashkafa, especially this time of year, Beseder, but we're on our road to the end of days. Right? And it says that we will go and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send us into exile and we will search for there to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umatzata, you will search, you will all in plural search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umatzata, if you will find him, kiti drishenu, if you seek him out, bechol levavacha, bechol nafshecha. We are all going to have to search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in exile, and each one of us has to find him individually. And I think this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu forcing each of us to, yes, find him individually. Because we were so dependent upon being constantly being connected to other things. This is how we look for him as an individual. This is how we become... how we become the individual that can look, we become an end of days person. How we can do that by figuring out who I am, the Eved Hashem and Ovedet Hashem I'm meant to be. The cracks in my Avodas Hashem, the cracks in my HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with no excuses, with no shul, with no Beis Medrash, with no chevra, no excuses, I'm by myself. When I daven, is it a real tefillah? They knew how to daven. Rav Shimshon, I think. They knew how to daven. They knew how to learn. I think we don't. And I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us home and saying, do you really know how to learn? You just know how to sit there in a shir and space out and feel good about yourself that you sat in a shir. Do you really know how to daven? You know how to sit in shul for 15 minutes and look like you're holy by shuckling a lot. Because nobody's watching us shuckle anymore. So you can shuckle to your heart's content because it makes you feel good, but if you don't mean it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows nobody's watching you. So who cares? The question is, are you davening? The question is, how many hours are you spending in the Beis Medrash? Nobody can see how long you're in the Beis Medrash for. Are you really learning? And when you're reading a piece of Gemara, when you're reading a Pasuk, are you talking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When you're singing, nobody cares how ruchni you look when you sing and how you're shaking your head or how you're whatever you're doing to look like you're really into the music. Nobody's watching you. When you're singing Zmiros on Shabbos and you're the only one at the table, all that matters is, am I connecting to Shabbos and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? That's what this is about. So again, first to answer your question, or to respond to you, I can't answer your question, but to respond to you, I think that dafka, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you want to go out? I'm for it. What's going beyond is going inside. For them it was to go outside perhaps, and perhaps for us it's to dafka, to go against our nature and to go inside. That's how I understand it. And for everyone, in terms of the peace, does that make sense?
Thank you, Rebbe.
Thank you, Rebbe. In terms of the peace, that's I think here what he's emphasizing very beautifully, is again to take this opportunity to go and search for those blockages, to search for where the lights cut off, recognize and to internalize. But now the time to think about when this year is over again, we're not going to the next thing, we're where we are. So when it's over, to stop and to think and to contemplate, to take it in, and to think, what ways do I feel cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And how much of my life have I spent saying, I feel cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cut off from me. And to maybe turn it around a little bit, and to recognize, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there. I'm cut off from him. And how do I clear that out? And how do I remove that tzarat? And how do I remove that retichat adam? And how do I remove that chait? And how do I remove that inclination? How do I remove that tzarat? And become tahor again. To open up those gates of light, to open up the gates of Da'at, to open up the gates of my lave, to open up the gates of Shemayim, and feel connected again, because that's the natural state of being. And the blockage that's there is because I'm putting up that wall, I'm putting up that divider, and I can take it down. If I recognize there's a problem, and I work to remove it, then I can live basking in that light. All right, I think that was a lot for one day. This is a great opportunity to learn with everybody. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should mamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a tremendous bracha. First of all, that this whole thing should end. Because no matter what the avoda that we gain from them, we have to look at the positive side of the avoda. There's so many lives that are being lost. But sometimes things should end soon. And it should end quickly. And nobody else should be lost in this machala. And everybody who's sick should have a refuah shlema. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while we're still in this, should be mezakas, that we should be able to recognize that we're living in an opportunity, because we're always living in an opportunity. To take advantage of that opportunity, to look deeply inside where those blockages are, to give us the strength to admit them, to admit where they are, and to open them up, and to mezakas, to make us truly feel the gates of Shefa, Bracha, and Or open, and to feel that connectivity with the Kadosh Baruch Hu Mamish in everything that we do and in every moment of our life. Shkolach, everybody. Thank you again so much, everybody, for coming. It's really so amazing to see so many people in so many different places. And I hope, Bezrat Hashem, if you guys want, that we'll be able to do this again. A shir like this gives me so much joy to reconnect with so many of you. And please, 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 especially those of you who I'm seeing for the first time, even if it's just your name, and even more so if it's your screen, I haven't seen you in ages, please, please, please be in touch. I'd love to reconnect. Everybody be good. Shabbat Shalom. I know it's early in the week, but enjoy this parsha of Sevim Mitzor. Shabbat Shalom, and everybody be good. Shkolach, everybody.